Welcome to Central Bark, a podcast from Guide Dogs for the Blind. I'm Teresa Stern, and I'm your host. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Central Bark. I'm so excited to be welcoming our guest today. Her name is Brooke Coelho, and she lives all the way over on the other coast in Rhode Island. She is a brand new handler from Guide Dogs for the Blind and has recently received her guide dog, Davos. And just excited to see how all that went for her and what she's up to now. So welcome, Brooke. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So Brooke, tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, how you decided to explore getting a guide dog and then coming to Guide Dogs for the Blind.
So I started losing my sight at a pretty young age, and I didn't really have much of like the resources that I needed. So when I was in my mid-20s, I want to say, I probably started getting a little bit more involved. I started getting cane training. And after a couple of years with my cane, I just felt like I wasn't going as fast as I wanted to. It didn't feel like it was freeing me as much as it was in the beginning. So I did some research into guide dogs, and I came across Guide Dogs for the Blind, and I saw that they had amazing support systems, you know, during the whole application process, throughout training, and then afterwards, up until retirement and even afterwards. So that was one of the biggest selling points for me.
Great, great. And I know you've got some kids at home. So tell me a little bit about that and how your new guide dog is fitting into your family.
So I have two children. I have a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old. And we have three pet dogs as it is. So.
Oh my goodness. Tell me about your pet dogs.
I have a German Shepherd who is about 6 years old. Her name is Nina. Aww. I have a pit bull mix. I think he's got Boxer. He was adopted from the local shelter, and he's about, I want to say, 9 or so. We're not even sure about his age, honestly.
Okay.
He is such a sweet boy. And then we have a French bulldog named Petunia.
Oh my gosh.
She runs the house.
Oh, I would imagine. Yes.
So bringing home another dog, and he's the biggest of them all. They were a little intimidated at first, but honestly, all of them get along so well together. It's nice. The boys, they lay together on the bed. They just lounge out. They'll even play together with like toys. And of course, the little Frenchie, she's always the one that she's got to be top dog. So she'll lay on top of Davos sometimes. He just kind of looks at her like, okay.
Oh my goodness. So now, did you come in when you came to get your guide dog? Did you come to California or Oregon?
I went to the Oregon campus. Actually.
Oh, you did? It's so beautiful there.
Oh, it's gorgeous. I had never traveled. So this was my first time really traveling on a plane out of state.
Right? Oh my gosh.
So it was so awesome to, you know, my first time was leaving alone and then coming back with my dog. It was amazing.
Oh my goodness. Wow. So you came into campus, you're there for one day, right?
I actually came in late.
Yes.
I had a snowstorm.
Oh no.
The day I was supposed to leave, and they canceled our flight.
Oh,
so shoot. I actually showed up on dog day.
Okay.
We ran through everything we needed to do. Like as soon as I got on campus, I met with the trainer. We did our pace assessment. We did everything we kind of needed to do. And then she came in and brought Davos to me.
Oh, so tell me about that. That's exactly what I was going to ask.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. So tell me about that first meeting. How did that go?
So I had barely slept the night before, obviously. Yeah. I was exhausted, but like I was so excited. I was just running on adrenaline at that point. And when she brought him in, I was like, oh my gosh. And he jumped up on the bed, and I was like, she's like, he's not supposed to do that. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. But, you know, we were just so excited to see each other, and he was running in between my legs.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, it was like an instant connection.
Oh, and I'm assuming, is he a Labrador?
He is a black lab. Yep.
Oh boy. Oh my gosh. He must be like a squishy big bear.
Oh, he is the best. He's got these beautiful bright brown eyes. They're like a bright honey color almost. Oh. They're so beautiful. And he's just got like this stare where he looks at you and you just melt sometimes. Yeah. He'll cuddle with me and you know, it's just he is such a cutie. Like, he's my best friend. I have my other dogs, they're my pet dogs, but the guide, the bond that you have with your guide dog, it's so different because you're the trust that you have to have in them. And, you know, it's it just brings that bond that you have with your pet and it maximizes it to, you know, 1,000. It's beyond words.
Right. Let me just pull at that a little bit because I think that's so, it's so unique. I think for those of us who are really fortunate enough to get this opportunity to work with a guide dog. Absolutely. Tell me about that first walk and how the trust kind of came together for you. Cause it's a little funky at first, right? It's a little it scary. Is. Yeah.
But honestly, after my first walk, I wasn't expecting to have the reaction I did. I literally was like in tears, breaking down. I was like, just the feeling of freedom you have walking around and like you're going at a faster pace than you would normally have. You just feel more confident and you just, it's such a different feeling. You feel like you blend into the crowd rather than kind of stand out as you would with your cane. Even though you have a harness, there's a lot of people that will ask me, oh, are you training him? And I'm like, no, this is my guide dog. Yeah. Like, they don't understand. And it's just, you don't stick out sort of as much as you would with a white cane.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Because I mean, people do notice them, but they it seems like they notice them, but not necessarily our blindness,
exactly.
Which is nice. Yeah.
And it makes it a nicer segue into the conversation, and you can open up about awareness and, you know, the program itself. You know, people always ask me, oh, guide dogs for the blind, you know, they've never heard of it on the East Coast because it's a West Coast school.
Yeah.
So I get the, you know, to explain to them the whole, you know, process and how I went to training and all the hard work we put in together and just everything about it. It's a nice segue to open up the communication to people about these things that they may not have known about beforehand.
Right.
And they might have felt, you know, sort of intimidated to ask somebody with a white cane, hey, like, what's your condition? How do you manage? Or, you know, things like that. They might just feel a little uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But when you have a dog, it just eases up the conversation a little.
Wow. So you just tell our listeners a little bit about what your class experience was like. Did you have other classmates or, you know, what the days were like?
We were the first class back after COVID, I believe, at the Oregon campus.
Okay.
Or maybe the second.
Okay. Yep.
I want to say we were like one of the first classes. Mm-hmm. So it was very small. There was only four of us in total. It was really awesome, honestly, because it was a smaller group. It felt more intimate, like we could bond with the other students. Mm-hmm. You didn't feel rushed when you were doing anything. You felt like you could ask them to explain things more, mm-hmm. or you could redo things a little, like, hey, I didn't understand that. Could we maybe go through that again? You know, it wasn't sort of like, hey, we have 10 other people we need to get to.
Right.
It was
right.
Very easy and, you know, flexible. It was, what are you guys interested in learning? You know, what are the environments in your hometowns like? And then they would try to replicate it. So it was nice. It made it feel like those skills we were learning, we could also transfer to home and not have any sort of anxiety about that. So I had never been in a space before that was accessible to blind people fully. Just the contrast, the lighting, there were so many different things that I was like, oh my gosh, I can do this at home. Like, I had just never even thought about it because we're so used to being in a sighted world that you don't even think about the adaptive behaviors that you take on to be successful in that sighted world. So being in an environment where you didn't have to think about little things like that, it was nice. It took the pressure off and it allowed you to focus more on what you were there for guide dog training and learning, you know, all about that, how to be safe, how to keep your dog safe and healthy, and how to maintain the training when you get home.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. And so when you told your family that you were going to go train with a guide dog, what were they thinking? Were they like, oh my gosh, that's awesome? Or like, well, I don't know if you should do that. Or what was the vibe there?
A lot of people thought I was crazy. Because I had three pet dogs. So they're like, you're going to get another dog. And I'm like, but it's completely different. It's not the same. But they thought, you know, a lot of my family, even though they know me, I'm blind, I'm the only reference of blindness they have. Mm-hmm. So getting a guide dog was, again, like opening them up to a whole new world.
Yes.
The same with me. I had never experienced guide dog, you know, handling. I don't know any guide dog handlers. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do now.
But yeah, yeah, of course.
I didn't beforehand.
You're connected so, now.
Yeah. My whole reference was just all the research I had done online and then going into it myself. So being able to like get into it and explain, no, that's not as simple as it looks. It's not just grab your harness and go.
Right.
You're a team. You have to work together. Like, it gives you that opportunity to explain how it works and all the hard work you both put into it.
That's right. That's right. I think sometimes people, they think, you know, oh, the dog just goes, you know, you tell him to go to the bank and he just goes to the bank.
But exactly.
There's a whole lot that goes on, right? You know, for
that
learning.
Misconception.
Like you did a ton of orientation mobility instruction before you came to get a guide dog. And of course, the dog had all of its training too. Mm-hmm. So, wow. So what do you find kind of looking back and thinking before you got your guide dog, you had applied and you're waiting to come in, what your life would be like? What's sort of surprised you the most or something maybe unexpected?
Like I said, that hard work, like I didn't realize that it was going to be a lot of that bonding together, that working together. Mm-hmm. I think I was under that misconception as well that guide dogs were seeing eye dogs, that you know, you would just say, hey, bring me, like, let's go here, and then we would go. I had an idea that there was some training, but I don't think I understood how much work actually goes into it and how many different things you need to keep in track of. You know, when you're on your walk and you're working with your dog and you need to make sure, you know, about other dogs and distractions and things like that, you know, it's, you have a whole other being now to take care of and be responsible for, but they're also responsible and taking care of you. Yeah. So it's that mutual relationship and just keeping that hard work to build that relationship.
Yeah. 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 So it sounds like when Davos came home, he got along well with all the other four-legged and two-legged kids in the household. Yeah.
It was interesting too, because of course we got another snowstorm right before we came home.
Oh,
so
no.
He came home to a whole bunch of snow. And he just like, what is this?
Oh, I bet. Oh,
he
my
is
gosh.
From California originally.
Oh, so he really didn't get much snow. Oh, wow.
So he was raised in Long Beach. He was at the San Rafael campus. Mm-hmm. He was actually with another handler for a few months out, I believe, in Missouri. So he really didn't have like a reference of snow at all.
What the heck is this?
Yes.
Stuff?
And he was there during, you know, the summer. So it was, he had heat, heat. And then he came home with me and it was just like, what is this?
But what did he
totally
do?
Okay.
What was his reaction?
He was a little like confused at first.
Yeah.
Like, can I go on this? But
yeah.
He's not a huge fan. He likes snow more than rain.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. How fun. Oh, so as a mom, I know it's that time of year. Kids are going back to school. How's that going? And how does Davos kind of help you navigate all of those responsibilities?
It's really nice. We're getting excited because on Monday we have an open house event to go to.
Oh,
and then on Wednesday, the kids actually go back to school. So we're getting into our routine and getting ready for that. We walk to school and
he loves it. Oh, yeah. I bet he does love that. Yeah.
So like a twice a day walk, he gets to go out and, you know, it's exciting because he gets to see all the kids and he does amazing with the kids. And honestly, the kids at our school do great with him and they love to come up and ask questions. And I I have these little cards that I printed out that I can hand out to them. And it's such a fun experience. It gives him the opportunity to earn some kibble because, you know, he's doing so well.
Boy.
Yes. So he's always excited to go.
Oh my gosh. So I imagine that your kids are very popular on campus with new brother Davos. Yeah.
Yes. And it's so funny because our community is pretty small. So when we're walking to go get a coffee or something, we might hear, "Oh, hey, it's that lady with the guide dog." And it's just so funny because, you know, that's how we're getting recognized now.
Yeah.
And it's
celebrities
spreading that awareness.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, you're right. Because it does open it up so that you can tell folks about what it's like to live with a visual impairment and the great resources like Guide Dogs for the Blind. So you've got the kids already going back to school. And I hear that you've got some plans for back to school as well. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Brooke?
I do. I was just accepted to Rhode Island College. So I am going to be starting. Thank you.
Yeah.
I was hoping to start in the fall, but I'm actually going to defer until January just to give myself some time to get ready, you know, as far as like assistive tech and things like that, learning the campus. I'm actually going back to school for Portuguese, I'm hoping to get a degree in that and then maybe do interpreting or translating, something with that in the medical or law field.
Wow. Yeah. Great. I love that. I love that. I have definitely my next travel dream is to go to Portugal. So,
absolutely.
So I'll have to get some words from you before I go.
We're actually hoping to plan like a family trip to Portugal next year. So that'll be fun.
That's great. That's great. Is your family Portuguese or why the interest in Portugal?
I am like quarter Portuguese, but my husband and his family are from Portugal. They came over when he was about 10 years old. So,
oh my gosh,
that with my background, it's definitely given me the boost to want to get into it more. And
yeah.
I've always loved in high school, I learned Spanish. So I wanted to learn Portuguese. And I feel like having that background in that Spanish kind of set me up for a little bit of advance in this course. So,
well, I wish you the very best of luck. And thanks for coming by and chatting with us today.
Oh, no problem. It was my pleasure. I just wanted to share that I'm so thankful to the puppy raisers and the trainers and like everybody that is involved with Guide Dogs for the Blind. I don't think they understand fully when they get into it, the difference they're making in people's lives. I think that they go into it thinking maybe it'll be a fun thing to raise a puppy. And yeah, you're doing a great thing in the process. I don't think they understand until maybe they see the person that is working with that guide dog that they raised, that the impact they're making on somebody's life is completely life-changing. So I just wanted to say thank you again to everybody.
Thank you for tuning in to Central Bark, a podcast from Guide Dogs for the Blind. If you enjoyed today's broadcast, please hop on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. Your reviews help more people find our podcast and learn about GDB's life-changing mission. We also love it when you leave us notes. As always, if you have an idea for an episode or a question you'd like us to answer on our podcast, please send us an email at podcast@guidedogs.com. We love hearing from you. So head over to guidedogs.com/podcasts, where you can find recordings of previous episodes, along with show notes and transcripts.